The team at Violent Gentlemen saw what I could do at their weekly skate and decided it was time to make our relationship official. Proud to announce the newest sponsor of the Eat 'Em Up podcast, Orange County's finest Violent Gentlemen Hockey Club. Welcome, Ducks fans, to another episode of Eat 'Em Up. And we got a very special guest joining us for this episode, Danny Heath. Danny, thanks for joining us. And I really want to get into the mind of Danny Heath. I'm going to lob up some really important questions to you here coming up. But for the Ducks fans that don't know you, a little bit about your background, maybe just starting with junior hockey. I know you played high level juniors and then into your collegiate career.
Yeah, super excited to be here. Thanks for having me. A little bit about me. I actually grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, so just west of that Glendale, so not too far away from Anaheim. We'd go there all the time for youth tournaments, and I played my youth hockey all the way in Arizona until I left my senior year to go play in the USHL. That's my biggest regret in hockey is I left too early. Wasn't mature. I had like the skill and all those types of things, but as far as like the maturity and moving away from home, I was not ready. So I played my senior of high school year in Tri-City in the USHL, and then stuck around for another year. First year got hurt a lot. Again, mind wasn't mature, body wasn't mature. Second season in Tri-City, the very first game, ended up getting hit, elbow went in the dasher, popped my shoulder out, ended up having season-ending surgery the next week. So I played one game that year, but I did fight in that game. So I averaged a fight a game that season.
There you go.
Also had a point and I was +2. So those are decent numbers for one game. Probably the only guy in USHL to average a fight a game, so I'm pretty excited about that. and then after that, spent the whole year there kind of rehabbing, and then got traded to Des Moines, which was an awesome year. I actually got to play for Mike Gensel and JP Parisi. I think it was 2 years before JP passed away. It was awesome to play for those two elite hockey minds. Obviously Mike's doing a lot in the National Hockey League still. And then Jake, obviously, playing big-time hockey, scoring big-time goals. So it was awesome to kind of learn from those guys. And then from there, I played 3 seasons in the USHL, which are there's 60 games a season. And I played a total of like 30 games out of the 3 years because of injury and concussions. And, I mean, you name it, I had it. I was thinking about playing one more year juniors, but I needed to get to college. I needed to change, too many injuries. And then I went to college, rehabbed and did all that stuff my freshman year. And then my next season, second game, I played my college hockey at Minnesota State Mankato, which is the most winningest college in the last like 12 years. It was a couple years after I was gone, but we lost the national championship to Denver. And so I'm super proud to be alumni there. But my sophomore year took a slew foot, hit my head on the ice, and that was my 8th concussion. And then sprinkle in every other injury you could imagine and surgery after surgery. Someone was telling me enough's enough. And that it was more important to tie my shoes when I'm 45, 50 years old than it was to chase down pro hockey. So decided to hang them up, and a blessing, Mike Hastings, who's now, he's now at Wisconsin. He just came into Mankato and took over as head coach, and he kept me on as a student assistant coach. So I got to learn under him for the first few years of my coaching career. And I mean, not a better guy in the world to learn from than him. That kind of, launched me into my coaching career and what I'm doing now. So lots of hockey as far as like where I played and stuff like that. But like I said, injury after injury, wasn't fun. And like I said, you name it, I did it to this body and still dealing with some lingering effects, but it's much better than it was. So
I'm right there with you with the injuries. Yeah. I tell you what do you say? 8 concussions? What movie is that with the concussion scoreboard? Holy smokes. And I'm making light of a serious situation, but was it not another teen movie, or was it? It was.
Sounds right.
It was a football movie. I'm pretty sure, Steph, more homework for you. Producer Steph, I'm giving you homework. You got to find out what the concussion scoreboard was from. I'm pretty sure not another teen movie, but it could have been that, what is it, Blue Mountain State? Could have been that one, too. I think they, so anyway, along those lines. So post-playing career, and I want to touch on, before we talk to all the good stuff you're doing post-playing career, JP Parisi. I didn't know we had that connection. So he recruited me out of California to Shattuck when he was just the head honcho there, just recruiting the top tier talent. So he was actually the guy to get me over to Shattuck. I had a great time at Shattuck. I'll be forever thankful for JP Parisi. And that's great that you had that same type of mentorship. That's unbelievable. That's a connection I didn't know we had. Tyler Pitlick. Do you know Tyler Pitlick, Mankato guy? Before his stint in Medicine Hat, we played juniors in the hat there. He was he played at Mankato. And do you know him? Have you seen him in the summers?
So he I was coming in as a freshman, and he was still there in the summer before my freshman year. And then he ended up signing and leaving that year, so we never played with each other. But I do know him a little bit. Obviously an unbelievable hockey player, and he's a great guy, fun guy to hang out with, and awesome guy.
So good connection. Danny, every day you're logging hours after hours after hours, and for all our listeners out there, to book Danny, and Danny's just he hustles and he's a grinder and he just gets it done. And we'll talk about just the following coming up here. So it was extremely hard to get you. I'm so thankful that we have a great hockey mind and yourself on Eat 'Em Up. So once again, I appreciate it again. One thing that you mentioned, it was the, you leaving home, and, but I want to stay on Pitlick. I'm jumping through a bunch of different hoops right now. I got to, because I brought up Pitlick. Not only is my boy, great hockey player, as you mentioned. And has he signed anywhere yet? I know he was a free agent. Have you seen anything?
I have not. Last I saw, I guess I'm not sure. I'd have to look that up. But he's got to be getting somewhere, right? Someone's got to pick him up.
Funny story. We're both, and I still, of course, are on the ice. I got two sessions right after this. How about that? I got two sessions. I'm sure you're going to the rink after this. I always tell my players, and one of the ways I took my shot, I was at the National Development Program. I was, and they had a sport court on the second floor right next to the skating treadmill. And I was working on my shot a ton. I don't know how many shots, 400 shots. Really got my shot, because my shot, even going into the development program, and kids who are listening to this, hey, like, even players at the development program or are that kind of cream of the crop per that age group still have a ton of things to work on. And I was a guy that I didn't go into the development program, having an elite level shot, but the repetitions, and it was, being up in that shooting area and working on my shot was one thing. So I got my shot to a decent level. When I saw, and this is after I was drafted, I saw, because me and Pitter was, we were in the same draft. He was a couple picks after me, and came to the hat, decided to leave Mankato, came to the hat. Huge pickup for us. He took us to the Eastern, or our team, with the addition of him, went to the Eastern Conference Finals. We got knocked out by Brady McNabb's Kootenai Ice team there. Long story short, when I first saw Tyler Pitlick play, we were just doing warm-up laps in the hat there. He was just absolutely ripping them. How much more velocity he had on his shot compared to mine, I don't know how many miles per hour, but it was, definitely by eye test, that shot was cooking. One thing, through the couple minutes, I was just, because I was so just really eyeing this guy down and seeing the velocity on his shot, how he was able to do it. One thing I know is, just within the first couple minutes of seeing him, is he pulled his puck, he pulled the puck in a slight foot. And yeah. I must have been, you know, shooting a little bit more on the outside and away from me. Right when I saw that, I started towing that thing in, putting my body weight over it more. And that led me to feeling it more and understanding yep. how important your weight over the puck and the leverage with the stick, what that's able to do to snap those things and help the velocity. I've never even told Peter this, but I mean, just within those circumstances, did my shot get tremendously better? One thing I wanted to mention to one of the first things you said there is being too young, you felt leaving home at the age you did. Yeah. Can you touch on that? Because I think, and this is going to go out to your audience, and you got so much traction, this is going to be great. Can you touch on that? Because I think that is very important for our younger audiences, and maybe even a year before leaving to a prep school out east, or you know, whatever, or junior high. Tell us what your experience was like, and what were those natural feelings that now you look back on, and you're like, you know, it was too young for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess for me, like and probably a lot like you, like I'm sure, did you start off playing inline hockey?
Yep. Did I did. Right, the big yeah. circles. That was my knock and probably yeah. why I dropped. So I was ranked eighth going into and I dropped to 29th. Shout out to the Anaheim Ducks. They still took me. wouldn't want it any other way.
Yeah.
But the big knock on me was the circling, like the roller yeah. hockey. Till my draft year, and it's important that the young audience is listening to this, even draft eligible players have their knocks, the scouts saying, hey, dude, you circle stops and starts more direct. Sorry, go on.
Well, I was just going to say I played inline hockey forever and that's all I wanted to do. And then got a kind of a late start, like for the hockey world, like it wasn't until would have been last year of squirts is when I started skating. Just because I wanted to play ice or I wanted to play roller hockey and someone's like, hey, you need to switch to ice. Like it's the only thing that has a future. And I was like, I switched over a little bit, but I played a lot of inline and I never took ice too serious. And, you know, as time went on, I just never really dialed it. And even when I got drafted into the USHL, I remember the coach called me and told me, he's like, yeah, this is, you know, so-and-so from Kearney, Nebraska, Tri-City Storm. And I thought like, this was back when cell phones weren't really super, you know, super big as they are now. And I was like, I kind of hung up on him. Like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, I got to get back into school here. So, and then the next year stepping in, leaving, I started to take hockey serious. Cause you know, I was getting decent at it. Went to Final 40 camp, didn't make that, for the national program. And then went to USHL and Tri-City. And like I said, I when I went there, my skills were there. Shot probably wasn't as developed. That's something I work with my guys on a lot now, just getting their lower hand underneath their chin. Like you said, like that's the point of like where your stick can actually do the work it's supposed to. And but yeah, when I went there, I was just, you know, immature and not having my mom around for the first time and moving in with a new family that, you know, they were there for you, but they weren't like your actual family. They ended up kind of becoming a little bit, obviously, as you know, with Bill families, but, just wasn't ready. And I wish I would have stayed. Cause I had the coaches I left in youth hockey. One of them's Jimmy Johnson, you know, played in the NHL forever, coaches in the NHL, like he's all over the place. And then the other one was Alf Samuelson. One of the most hated guys, depending on where you're at in the NHL, if you're in Boston.
Both of those guys. Yep.
Yeah. And so those were my two coaches in youth. And I just left because I thought the grass was greener. Like, oh, you got to get there as fast as you can. And both of them were saying, no, like, hey, if you make the national team, go. If you don't make that, you need to stay another year and develop with us. And I wish I would have stayed the whole year with them just because they would have prepared me a little bit more. And then I think I would have stepped in, played a solid year in the USHL, probably wouldn't have got hurt as much. Who knows? But just wasn't there. And the grass isn't always greener, right? And there's so many eyeballs nowadays. And I had already committed to Mankato before I went to the USHL. So I wasn't like chasing a scholarship or anything like that. So should have listened to the people that took care of me forever and just stayed the extra year. And That's kind of my message to all the guys. And this one kid that I've worked with since he's in the sixth grade, he's actually at Dallas's camp right now. His name's Kyle Loft. And he, like, same thing with him. Like, when he wanted to, or he didn't want to leave. And we were getting to the point, he was playing like Southern Minnesota high school hockey. And we're like, hey, you gotta go, you gotta go. And he's like, he wanted to stay and play another year of baseball with his high school buddies. And, you know, we had the conversation. We decided, hey, learning from my mistakes, what's it going to hurt? Stay one more year. He was already, you know, committed to Bemidji and going to Cedar Rapids the next year. So you learn a little bit as you go. But yeah, like I said, just being ready skills is one thing. But I do think it's more important maturity wise and, you know, your off ice habits. You got to make sure that's all there, especially if you're going to play higher level hockey away from your home.
And a lot of great points. One thing I want to touch on probably the most is the billet situation, right? Yeah. Because it's really, don't accept, hey, we've done a survey or whatever. Like, you don't know, right? You don't know what's truly going on in the back end. You want to give all these teams, juniors, whatever, the benefit of the doubt, but make sure you talk to the family, right? Make sure that, hey, can I get a phone call with who I'm going to be staying with? Like, come in educated, right? And I'm sure that more resources too, maybe to persuade you to maybe wait another year, right? It would have been all right. The difference. I see, I see, I owned a junior team no longer, but, you know, I was in the thick of it. Billet families, being the right fit, not the right fit. I had a great experience with both my billets in Medicine Hat. Wonderful. Just open up their home, best meals, anything I wanted. Sleep arrangements was top notch. Not everyone gets that experience, right? And right. So go in educated. The more info you get, the better. Eyebrows should be raised if they're not sharing info or you can't talk to the billet or, you know, so I wanted to touch on that. Project Hockey, you're wearing the hat.
Got it on.
Oh yeah. Pristine logo. You're doing such great things over there. I'm certainly, I've buckled up. I'm strapped in. I've followed along for quite a while now. And it says a lot about your traction, right? And it's an authentic grassroots traction that you got. You got a ginormous following. How did you start this whole Project Hockey? Where did it begin and where are you at now?
Yeah, so for me, Project Hockey started back, this was well before COVID. Everyone thinks it was like a COVID idea, but we started it 4 or 5 years before COVID. And I, like, the number one question I got from parents, from kids, from, you know, other youth hockey coaches, like, what can my kid do at home? And, you know, I'd always give them like, hey, try this, try that. And they're like, we want more. And so way back in the day, I just started creating YouTube videos that were unlisted, and I'd put them on like a Google Sheet and I would send them out to the, you know, the team that wanted it. And then I'd wake up the next day and then there'd be like a request for access to the sheet, and I'd give access to this one and this team and this team. And it kept growing. And every week I would just update it. Like, here's another drill you can do at home. Here's a video that you can watch to make yourself better. Here's some stretching you can do after your hockey game. And so just started to piece together like little tidbits that kids could do at home. Cause, you know, then I had the answer like, hey, what can my kid do at home? Like, oh, give me your email. I add you to the sheet. And then it just kept growing and growing and growing. We had all these athletes and these young hockey players using it. And then a little bit before COVID, it was getting really big. I was like, okay, I need to like cover me a little bit. Like, I can't just send out all these videos to kids and, you know, hopefully everything works out type of thing. So, you know, we partnered with somebody and we created what now is the Project Hockey app. And then COVID came along and everybody needed something to do at home. And we worked with a lot of people during COVID. And like, we worked with, the Arizona Coyotes a little bit and did some at home hockey for like their youth following. We worked, we actually did the at-home stuff for the Ottawa 67s and the OHL, just because those guys were all stuck on lockdown. It's like, what can we do? Well, here you go. Because our program is very, it's for everybody. Like, too many kids are like, or too many people in the hockey world are like, hey, hockey's for everybody, inclusive. And yet, you know, they turn around and it's like, hey, it's $500 to come to your camp for one day. It's like, okay, that's not for everybody. That's for the few that can afford it. And there's definitely nothing against that. Like, their hockey's a business, right? And there needs to be a way for people to live financially off it. But Project Hockey's always been about like leaving the game better than we found it. And so and I haven't seen anything more affordable than Project Hockey, like for less than, I think it's like 67 cents a day. Kids have access in the app to stick handling, shooting, hockey IQ stuff and things like that. And they can literally log in. It's like Facebook creates a profile for them. It's a lot safer than Facebook because there's no direct messaging. So parents love that. Kids love it because they feel like they're on social media. And then we're now getting to the point where people just want the hockey IQ, the hockey IQ. And that term's kind of getting tossed around a lot, as you know, as like a buzzword in our world. And like, hockey IQ can mean so many different things. Like, it can mean like breaking down your shift all the way to like making sure you're watching the next player in line in practice to understand what you're doing so you can do the drill to your best ability. Like, I think there's a lot of different aspects to it. But now we're at the point where we have our own hockey IQ track, where it's a different video each day. There's questions each day. We actually go live on Zoom a few times a month and connect with our members. And this is something we just started probably 2 weeks ago, and we're gaining a lot of traction with it. And, it's cool to see in there everyone, like, you know, kid watches the video and then gives a thoughtful answer about what it was. And it's not like A, B, C, or D. It's like, hey, why do you think Austin Matthews turned towards the boards instead of towards the player? And just kind of creating better conversations around hockey, because I think nowadays kids are so engraved in video games. And, you know, if they're playing NHL, I think that's great. I think that can help develop a lot of like creativity as well. But just getting kids to have better conversations about hockey while keeping the main thing the main thing. And at Project Hockey, it's just about leaving the game better than we found it, and making sure that when we say like hockey's for everybody, all means all, we truly mean that. And it's been pretty cool. Like, it's brought me to all over the world, because they, you know, they turn into hockey camps. And at one point we had a Project Hockey member in like 12 different countries, which is pretty exciting. So Project Hockey's it's a lot, but its focus is like, how can you get better at home? And the app is, you know, the answer for a lot of kids.
Well, if this was Shark Tank, I'd certainly be an investor. That's for sure. So much good things said there. The affordability and the name, right? It's not like Project Hockey, you know, everyone knows what that means. Affordability, you know, growing the game. I mean, there's a ton of good stuff within that name, but you're actually backing it up, right? At that price point, you know, roughly 67 cents a day. That is a price everybody can get behind. I mean, honestly, like, if you're paying what we know it costs to play hockey, which isn't cheap, and, you know, hopefully those prices, equipment, all that, you know, eventually comes down. I know there's some startups that are trying sticks and you know, cheaper gear. Good on them, you know, pushing this cause. But it's so great, A, you're doing it, but it's almost, for me, it's a non-negotiable, and I'm stressing to my listeners, please, okay? It is Instagram at Project Hockey. Download the app. Can you mention pricing app, anything that goes into that? You want to just address the listeners?
Yeah. So we have like our basic skills training at home. And that's $19.99 a month. And then our new Hockey IQ app, which, like I said, we go live on Zoom with either myself or one of our awesome coaches, Kyle Loft, who I mentioned is hopefully going to play for Dallas this year, if not in the AHL. He jumps on a lot as well, but that's $25 a month. So for less than the price of one of those expensive hockey sticks, you can get training for like 2 years, which is banana land. So it's been fun.
If you love today's content, then I'd love for you to take a trip over to VGHC.com or stop by their Costa Mesa flagship store to see what the club is cooking up for hockey fans worldwide.
non-negotiable Ducks fans. If your son or daughter plays hockey, come on. Project Hockey. Get the app. Follow on social media. This is such good stuff. I love the multiple choice answers.
Yeah.
From a going back even to the and you're just a sheer businessman. I could see it. I'm fascinated with the Google Sheets and the plugging in the video there. When I heard that, I'm like, oh my, that is some great stuff. And you've even elevated your game, of course, with the app and good on you. That's unbelievable. And you know, for all of the maybe entrepreneurs, I'm a small business owner myself. Danny, obviously, just all you got going on and your methods of how you run the back end. Just I think the entrepreneurs that are also youth hockey players, but have that aspiration, that business mindset, that are going door to door selling something. There's listeners out there doing that. Listen to that. Listen to Danny. I mean, just how he was able to use sheets, spreadsheets. No excuses. If you want to, you know, start up your own private lessons, boom, you heard it right there. So don't be afraid to expand your horizons. And I know you start working with clients, you'll get a different perspective when coaching, some ingrained leadership. So that is so fascinating. And please, listeners, do the right thing. It's such a great cause. And look, Danny knows what he's talking about. I've been very fortunate to work with Adam Oates and Daryl Belfry, and a lot of the language I use, even on the broadcast, I've learned from them. Who have been, is it maybe a coach? And you mentioned JP Parisi early on. Great. I know he just brought a ton of hockey brain food to you, but is there any other just, you know, one person, to coach it, whatever that comes to mind that, wow, I learned a ton. I relay that same message. Can you elaborate?
Yeah. So for me, kind of along the same lines as you, I've worked with a ton of different people. And like I said, so like in my youth age, I was able to work with, you know, Jimmy Johnson, Alf Samuelson, like these guys were hacking and whacking us all practice long, playing like they still play in the NHL. So I kind of got that great upbringing. And then I got JP Parisi, who actually, he kind of did change a big portion of my life. Cause I remember, you know, I was the captain of that team, and he, one of the guys in the back line, like shot a puck across the ice or something while the drill wasn't going on. And I'm like, hey, like, knock it off, like, figure it out. Like, we got to focus. And JP comes up and, you know, has like French Canadian accent, like, no, we do not yell. Like, if you're going to shoot the puck across the ice, you aim for something. And like, and he's like, look, there's a puck over there. And he shot a puck and it hit that puck. And I was like, okay, like, this guy's phenomenal. And that really like changed the idea of like, not everyone's messing around like you think they are. Like, give them, if they're going to mess around with a purpose, and, you know, build up that hockey IQ while you're standing in line. And so that actually, I remember that specific moment in my life where it's like, okay, like, let's help kids get better no matter what they're doing and kind of what their path is. And then as I kind of got older, Mike Hastings, like I mentioned, Todd Canott, these guys that are at Wisconsin now, they were in at Minnesota State, along with Darren Blue, like they really helped kind of engrave like the team aspect for me and like how to manage people. I think Mike Hastings, if you dropped him off in any business in the world, like, he would make that business thrive. And he's doing it right now with Wisconsin. But then, yeah, now in like my skills training day, I haven't worked with OT, but I've worked with two people that work for him, John Lounsbury and Taylor Williamson. They both work for him and do the skills coaching with, you know, the NHLers, the college athletes and things like that. So I've spent a lot of time picking their brain. And Oates is one of the best. And I haven't really worked with Belfry, but I've heard nothing but great things. But the way Oates kind of teaches the game and the ideas that he has, and like the way he puts them into drills and then executes them into games for people is phenomenal. So that whole piece has been really good for me. And it's fun to have those type of people that I know I can you know, call and get a hold of them, be like, hey, my player is doing this, or, you know, this guy is having issues digging pucks out of the corner. And then like, hey, here's what's going on. And they can kind of help me fix that stuff. So I've been, like I said, I don't know, right place at the right time, or super lucky, or whatever you want to call it. But all these people have really helped shape the idea of what I believe it means to be not just a skills coach, but a good human being. And yeah, it's been great. And I think once I had to stop playing hockey, I the competitive aspect in me, as you know, like, it doesn't go away. And I think that's why, like, the entrepreneurial spirit really, like, has picked up in it. It's like all I want to do. And I mean, I've got a wife, two kids, and, you know, I want to spend as much time as with them as possible. But I also, like, I want to work on the businesses because I want to take them to something unbelievable and help as many people as we can. And it's just that competitive aspect in me. And I right away when I stopped playing, I did coach like teams. But I kid you not, my second game coaching behind the bench, I took a puck to the mouth and shattered my jaw, got my 9th concussion. So you can add another one to that scoreboard. And so I couldn't stay away from these things. So I'm like, all right, I got to get out of the team idea and get into the skills. And it's a lot more satisfying to me, like helping a kid, you know, learn how to pick pucks out of corners. And then all of a sudden they're doing that in games, and me watching that is a lot more fun to me, I guess, or, more exciting to me than it is like, hey, this is how we're going to forecheck. This is how we're going to power play. So that those little skills, and Oates is one of the best at teaching those. So that's, it's been cool to kind of learn from all those things.
It's fascinating. Fascinating. When it comes to hockey, just theories, all the great hockey minds you and I just mentioned, they've had their own mentality theories. Is there a theory for you, maybe from a broad sense, on just things that maybe the hockey world players either aren't capitalizing on from a skill and habits perspective? Like, is there anything that you know if a player does shift in and shift out, they're going to be, I mean, just make that much more positive plays or have just a better impact on the hockey game?
Yeah, for me, and I think I heard you use the word education this podcast, but like it's all about educating yourself and then, you know, creating vision for yourself. And the education part really came from Mike Hastings. I remember he was, you know, guys were talking in practice. It was really loud and he kind of blew it dead. He's like, we're talking to nobody. Like you're not just yelling and screaming out here. You got to educate the player with the puck, let them know what to do so then they can make a better play. And so that's kind of my piece whenever I'm doing any type of like drill or skill thing. It's like, okay, how can you, if it's an individual thing, how can you educate yourself before you touch the puck, or how can you educate yourself while you have the puck? And then fast forward, like working with Lounsbury and Taylor and who are, they're under the Adam Oates things. And, you know, this is kind of something I got from them, but like the idea of like, you know, not bobbling pucks. Like if you can not bobble pucks, then you don't have to stare down at the puck. If you don't have to stare at the puck, you're going to see the ice better. And I remember Taylor kind of put it into perspective for me. Like that's how car accidents happen. Like when you're driving a car, you look down at your phone, you lose sight of the windshield. That's when accidents happen. It's no different in hockey, right? Like when you look down at the puck, you lose sight of what you just educated yourself on, and you know how fast the game's getting. It's, you know, it changes in an instant, and all of a sudden you look up and that's when you get hit. And like I said, that's not like this is me learning from other people like Taylor and Lounsey and, you know, under Oates. And that, like I said, they're, in my opinion, they're the best in the game doing it. And so that kind of thing, whenever I'm doing any types of drills, you see a lot of, and social media can be kind of confusing at times. Like if you just jump on there looking for a cool drill to find, then you do it, you might not understand that, hey, there's been years of pre-teaching and educating before we got to this point. And then there might be even cues before the drill that went on, that they don't understand. And so they just do whatever the figure was in the drill. Right. And so I always encourage people, if they see a drill that I post, message me and I'll get back to you as quick as I can. Like, hey, these are the coaching points. This is like I posted a drill the other day and someone else did it and sent it to me. And I was like, that's great. But you know, he had his head buried in his feet the whole time. It's not just a tight turn drill. And so those types of little things are really what I'm trying to help people, because at the end of the day, like, I don't want another person's story to be like, yeah, I got 8 concussions because I couldn't keep my head out of my feet. And so that's kind of a big piece to me. And that's close to my chest, and helping people just make better decisions and not shying away from anything. Cause you know, the second you do that, that's when you get hurt. But just being properly, you know, equipped to make better decisions on the ice.
I love that analogy. Sounds like me this morning on the way over here, looking down while almost getting in a car crash. It's unbelievable. I love that. Yeah. I love that analogy. And it really goes with going with the puck and just the overall ability to receive passes, but going with the puck or deadening it. It's something that Adam Oates works a ton on, the wall work, going with the puck or just deadening it in its tracks. Oh, I'm going to stress just a play that the best players in the world do it. And I'm not going to mention the player nor the game, but just recently happened where the player, and it was a third, fourth line guy, and he was on the opposing team, and he elected not to, on ozone entry delay, when there was ample amount of time for him to read that he was getting squeezed off, right? You have enough time. Yeah. When you pass the ozone blue line, he had about, say, 5 feet. A lot of times that's all you have. That's probably max, right? But there was the wherewithal, or at least there should have been the wherewithal, okay, feeling of I'm getting closed out and delaying, right? You don't want to, just accept losing possession of the puck, like accepting getting squeezed off. But the one thing that I just, from a skills perspective, that I see still at the game's highest levels, delaying off entry. And you see a guy like Patty Kane using that stick length. Okay, is he, is the pressure stick close enough where he's got to turn towards the boards, or he's got ample amount of time, he's stopping up facing the play, right? And it's what separates first liners, second liners, and then third, fourth liners are guys that make it to the highest level or not, right? So much good. I'm still thinking about that analogy because I've never heard it. Hey, everyone listening out there, it's always good to get a different perspective. When you download Project Hockey and the app, and you start tuning in and looking on the all good content. Because right, Danny, it's, if you think about coaching, how many parents could probably be jaded, right? I mean, you're looking out for what's best for your son or daughter, right? And it's just that natural reaction of protection, right? That it's like, oh, like I've only worked with so-and-so my whole life. It's like, no, work with every skill coach, download Project Hockey app, follow what you, Danny, has to offer, right? Get that different perspective. Then you're so much more well-rounded. It's like, well, I tried your thing in a game. That didn't work, but I tried Danny's in a game. Oh, that's what I'm using, right?
Yeah, we just had, and literally 2 days ago in the app, the lesson was Patrick Kane, how he uses his toes to send bad education to the defenseman, and then that creates space up the wall for him, and he can delay and then find the guy coming in, right? So that's exactly what you just said is what we talk about daily in the app, and it's just creating better conversations for hockey players and, you know, getting them off the mindless video games and getting them onto something like getting them off TikTok. Like for me, it's like, if it was my son or daughter, I'd rather them doing that on the way to the rink versus, you know, mindlessly scrolling TikTok for 30 minutes on your way to the rink. So it's just better conversations, but yeah, you nailed it.
You know, when we were back playing in our days, there was no live barn. Now all the players out there listening, you got live barn. So when a coach says, hey, I needed to do this, and you felt you did it, or you have no clue what your coach is talking about, you have the opportunity to be a student of the game after practice, say, oh, I know I did that, right? Potentially, hey, can you explain what you were talking about? Because I let's get on the same page here. Or it's like, oh no, coach was right. Whatever the case may be. But it self-evaluation is so key, right? And watching, and that's why I just love what you're doing, because video still, with all the resources, is for sure, if you think of all the players in the world being underutilized, right? You show up to practice, you put the time in on ice, you talk about video games or what iPads, a lot of distractions, fine, have your fun, but just know that if you're looking to gain the edge and get the upper footing on the competition, self-evaluation, video, it's the resource is there. The resource is there. So Danny, keep up the good work. What's next for Danny Heath?
You know, we're just going to keep making hockey players better. And we're putting a lot of time into the Project Hockey app, as far as making sure, like, when people log in, they're getting unbelievable content, they're getting challenged, they're developing their hockey IQ. And we are dabbling a little bit too in like the Live Barn personal review for our members. So, you know, if you're a member, they're able to, you know, download their own clips, and then we can go over them with those kids. Cause it's one thing to watch, like, you know, Patrick Kane do his thing, but then it's another thing to help a kid, you know, break pucks out or even enter zones better. So with their own clips. And that's been a big thing of ours. And then we've noticed a lot of pockets of kids that use our app. Like, we had a few kids over in Oxford, England that used it. And so I reached out to them, and I actually ended up going over there this last summer and doing a skills camp for them. And that's been, we go down to San Diego, once a year as well. And do a skills camp down there after the 4th of July. Cause we had a number of kids using it, you know, in Southern California. And so it's kind of two pieces where we're going to really help kids, you know, hone their skills in at home and their hockey IQ at home through the app, and just create more opportunity for kids that, you know, can't afford the weekly private lessons or the big fancy camps. And then building on top of that, you know, it really helps our members when we can go to a place and see them in person. And we're going to Northern California in May as well, up in like the Fresno area as well. So we're kind of all over the place, but that's kind of our big mission, is to help kids through the app develop. And then also, you know, if there's a pocket of kids that use the app in X, Y, or Z, we try to get there once a year and, you know, show face and help them see what it's like actually on the ice. Cause then boom, we can actually, the issue with a lot of these camps I'm seeing is, like, you go there, it's, you know, 2-3 days, and then you never see him or talk to him again for the year, where this is more of a holistic approach where it's like, okay, we see in the spring, we see in the fall, and then we see in the app all year. And so it's been really fun, and excited to keep working on it.
Keep it going. You're filling in all the gaps. It's phenomenal. And I'm going to return the favor. I know you mentioned your San Diego camp. Me and the fam love the San Diego Zoo. I'm going to bang, bang. I'm going to hit your camp. I'm going to go on the ice with the player for a session and hit the zoo.
Let's do it
too. So I got you there. Let me know when those dates are, please. And just for our Ducks, I mean, is there a player or two, you know, whether you're tuning into us, you know, every game, that's besides the point, anyone that you like on this Ducks team for any reason, go.
I actually love the Ducks. I'd put them as probably, and this isn't just because I'm on here, but they're probably my second favorite team behind the Wild. Now that my Coyotes are gone.
What a guy. What a guy.
Yeah. I do a lot of skills coaching where I drive a few hours for it. And so then driving home, I get to listen to the late games in the middle of the winter. So I listened a lot last year. But I love McTavish. Like, I think that guy is, I mean, he's got to be the future leader of that team if he's not kind of ahead of that already. He plays the game, like, the way he plays the game is like how you'd want your son to behave when he's out in public by himself, right? Like, he does it the right way. So I love watching him. I think, what is it, Cutter Gauthier? I think he could probably win the Calder this year. Like, that guy shoots the puck like an animal. And then, you know, I like, Cam Fowler as well. I hope he sticks around. I grew up playing against him. He's a year or two younger than me, but that guy always played up 10 years because he's a freak. And he's a smooth skating defenseman who a lot of kids should, if you're looking to model your game off someone, like, he's the guy to watch and emulate. So I actually take a lot of his clips to help young defensemen out, just how he can move the puck, especially in the neutral zone. Like, he's a one man breakout at times. So Those three players, I love watching them, and I'm excited for the Ducks' future. Like, it's crazy the pool you guys have. It's a good time to be a Ducks fan.
It really is. Hey, we appreciate that. Wow. Number two team. We'll take it. We'll take it. Hey,
I'm not totally sold on the all orange yet, but I think it'll grow on me.
Okay. We'll see. It's orange country down here. It's orange country. I know it will grow on you. Any plugs? I know I mentioned the app, the Project Hockey app, social media, any other things you got going on?
I mean, just, you know, keep an eye. The biggest thing is if you ever wanted, you know, our group or myself to come and do skills training, I'm always open to going wherever. Like I said, we go as close to, you know, the rink down the road all the way over to Oxford, England. So that was a phenomenal experience. And the rink in Oxford didn't have plexiglass, it had netting that was pulled down to the side. So it was an experience, but honestly, those kids were like sponges. Like they took everything in, and it was unbelievable. So if there's ever an opportunity for us to come, and a lot of times when we go and do, you know, a clinic somewhere, we'll give the app to all the players a part of it for free for a few months and let them try it out and kind of have at it. And the other thing would be we work with a lot of teams on Hockey IQ. Then it just kind of, you know, brings their focus in a little bit more, where we not only have the app for them to do different things, but then we'll break down some games for them as well. And it's more on the skills side. Like we'll never, unless we're asked to, we'll never coach systematics and systems. But yeah, I think that's kind of the biggest thing. And honestly, like if you just love talking hockey, like hit me up on Instagram, and it's one of my favorite things to do. So I'm all about it.
What a guy. And, if you're not following Danny already on his personal account, and he's got a ton of hockey content that I splurge, and I love every second of it. It's Danny DANNY_hype. HYPE. So check him out on social media, and a lot of good content. Danny Heath, ladies and gentlemen, hey, you are doing so many great things and making a serious impact on the game of hockey. Appreciate you coming on Eat 'Em Up. And anytime, brother, I'd love to have you back. This is going to be so, once again, I mentioned the term just food for the brain, and just, I mean, we really maximized a lot of ways you can get better at hockey that I know, right? And you know that kids right now sitting at home aren't necessarily taking advantage of. So once again, thanks for hopping on. And Ducks fans, we'll see you next time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You're doing awesome things.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.